I know someone personally who was so smart that he got accepted into MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. But he ended up understanding about himself that engineering was really not his thing. He didn't like it, and so he wasn't doing well in classes. And even though it's a very prestigious university, very, very hard to get into, this person dropped out in the first semester of their junior year. And one of the things that he said about himself at the time, this is years ago, was that he needed to, quote unquote, find himself. And this is an expression I think probably most of us have heard of, right? That sometimes there are people who go through this, that they need to find themselves. So the idea of finding oneself, of understanding oneself, is tied to our sense of identity. You know, who are we? And this morning we begin to dig into a new series which we are calling My Identity in Christ. And we said that we would divide the series up into three parts. The first part was going to be the BC. It was going to be the before Christ look. So what was like life for all of us before we received Christ? But I want to say, whether or not a person is in Christ this morning, that what we're going to talk about today applies to each and every one of us. And here's why. Because whether or not a person has received Christ, whether or not that person has received Christ, they are, one, created by God, two, they were made to reflect God, and then three, they are known by God. Everybody got those? Okay, we're going to go through each of those one by one. So the first one that we're going to look at is this idea that, and we're putting it in first person, again, to make it personal so everybody can connect with this, is the idea of I am created by God. This is for each person to say. So we've said that the series is going to flow out of our use of this pamphlet, Who I Am in Christ. Big fold out, you know, it's got lots of pages in it. And we said that every person who wants one can get a copy. I actually had to wait on a back order, so we're going to wait till all of them are here before we start to give them out so everybody can kind of get them at the same time. But we're basing it in this, with the statements that they say. And the pamphlet, the way that they word this idea, they word it a little bit differently. So this is my own wording. They have it as, I am a creature. That's what they have. Now, that struck me a little bit awkward, a little bit odd to put it that way. So you can ask definitions of your phone, and that's what I did. Define creature.
Creature, an animal, as distinct from a human being.
Could you pick up on that? Creature, an animal, as distinct from a human being. So if someone were to try to look that up, I thought we don't want to give that idea, and so we've modified this just a little bit to say, because I understand what they're talking about, to say, I am created by God. So our main verse for this is Genesis 2, verse 7. Did this, like, suddenly not go? There we go. You may have to keep doing that. We'll see. But this is our verse. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. And this verse is really reiterating something that chapter 1 had. Let's see. There we go. Genesis 1:27, God created man, male and female. He created them. So we've talked before that there was a corporate sense of that word man, meaning mankind. God created males and females, and then that's broken down into the verse we first saw in chapter 2. When you have Genesis chapter 2, that's specifically talking about the first male, when that's quoted. So that's talking about Adam. But later in that same chapter, it's going to specifically talk about the first female, just to make sure that everybody understands these basics. So later in the same chapter, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. That being from verse 22. And the man said, "All right." That's not the New American Standard. That's not our Pew Bible. Might be in the Message. I'm not totally sure. But for that first verse in Genesis chapter 2, where it talks about formed, it literally means to press or to mold. And then in verse 22 here, that word fashioned, it means to build. So the idea is that both are showing God as having an active part in what is going on here. I want this to be very, very clear. Now, just in case anybody would doubt the idea that God still makes, you know, all people, that it wasn't just that initial thing and then kind of things are set in motion, the idea that God makes all people, Paul, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, is talking to a non-Christian audience, specifically those who are not followers of Jesus Christ, when he says this. He says, "He himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." So the simple idea is that whether a person is a follower or not, okay, all people can say this, that I am created by God. Did you ever happen to hear anybody say something to the effect of, "Yeah, I was an accident," or, "Yeah, I wasn't supposed to happen, I was sort of a surprise," those kind of statements? Okay, whenever there is a pregnancy, those kind of things can affect a person's sense of identity if they think of themselves that way. And there is no pregnancy that is an accident to God. Okay. There is no pregnancy that is a surprise to God. He has a purpose and a meaning with every life that is created. Now, we're not going to go in this direction because I've decided that if you want to pursue this, because for me, it brought some things to mind about people that I actually know. If God has a purpose for every life, if God knows and is involved with creating every life, then why? Those are the kind of things that we're going to talk about on Wednesday. So I just invite you to come out with some questions that you may have about that. But we can all say that I am created by God, and that means that we can personally apply what David says in Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. Talking to God, he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Some of us, especially as we age, and we see how fragile, frankly, we really are. You know, you can have, if you're a little kid, you don't even think about it. If you're in your 20s, you think you're indestructible, those kind of things. For some of us, the older that we get, the more we realize it really is amazing how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. And that goes also to our fragility. At our service at Broadford Park, I said once again this idea that people live what they believe. I said this to someone who's going to be on staff very soon with another church in the area here, even just this week, and he fully believed with that. People live out what they believe. What they really believe is shown by the way that we live. But unfortunately, there are some people, usually it comes at the stage of being a kid or being a teen, that are made to believe that they are worthless. Okay, lie. That is a lie. If God has created you, if you are alive, that means that God has a purpose for your life. He has made you and you have worth. As encouraging as that initial thought is, I also want to flip this around just to kind of keep us humble in the midst of that. So it is true that God has made us, and because of that we have worth. But to balance that out, we want to keep in mind what it says in Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves." That's what a few of our Bibles, including our Pew Bible, says. Most Bibles word that last part, "It is he who made us and we are his." Either way, the point is taken to be the same. Okay, because he created us, he has a say over our lives. Like the potter has say over the vessel that he makes, he has a say over our lives. Okay, so it's not just that we have worth, but we have a purpose. And what we are to do is to line ourselves up with His purposes for us. Now, to be honest, for those who want to be a little bit argumentative and kind of dig into Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 2:19 does say, talking about Him personally forming, it says that God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, but in forming mankind, He made us special, which is what we're going to look at next as we think about this statement, I am made to reflect God. Now, once again, I've modified a little bit. When you get your pamphlet and you look, you're not going to find this exact wording. The way that the pamphlet words this is, I am like God. And maybe it's because I've taught against the New Age movement and this whole thing about I can find the spark of divinity inside of me and all those kind of things. Again, I know what they mean and they're right in what they say, but I've chosen to word it this way. I am made to reflect God. So just out of curiosity, I know we have a bunch of visitors today, but just out of curiosity, how many were at our service 2 weeks ago at Broadford Park? Okay, so a good half, maybe two-thirds. The sermon was entitled, In God's Image. And I was planning on saying, if you haven't heard that service yet, which was really as a result of what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, if you haven't heard that sermon, right now you can't go to the website to hear it. Because our website is down, as some of you know by email. It's not our fault at all. But you can get the CD, or you can wait for the website to be back, and it'll be up soon. But we were talking about this idea, and really when we say in God's image, this is just another way of saying it, to be honest. We're tying it to the same scripture. Saying, I am made to reflect God is another way of saying that mankind is in God's image. So, like 2 weeks ago, our verses that we want to point out, we're going to take these parts of Genesis 2, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. We're going to skip over the part that's kind of in between there about ruling for right now. But this is the part we want to focus on. So besides saying that each person has worth, we say that each person is special in God's eyes because we are the only part of creation, folks. We're the only part of creation that is said to be made in God's image. So we uniquely reflect. You know, we sang, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. It's because it has the word reflect in it. So it talks about how all creation reflect thy rays, but in a special way, humans reflect God. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, some would say that we would reflect God, very similar to what we said a couple weeks ago. Some would say that we reflect God by being able to use reason, or because we are able to exercise a will, or by having emotions. Just want to make clear, just want to emphasize that people can reflect God in those ways to a lesser or to a greater degree, right? If you talk about this idea of course we can exercise our will, that does reflect God because He exercises His will. Same thing with the sense of emotions, same thing with reason. But the way that that's done can be to a greater or a lesser degree that reflects Him. So the simple way to think of it is this. We can all think of ourselves as mirrors. All of humanity are mirrors of God that reflect Him, but some are a bit dirtier or dustier than others. Some may have like a fog on them. Some may be a bit cracked. They all reflect, but they don't necessarily reflect as accurately as they could. So part of our task then is to reflect God with our reason in a godly way. It's to reflect God with our wills and emotions in ways that please Him. You could say that reflecting God is to be understood as Genesis 2 talks about. This is in the sense of determining, as Adam and Eve are given the opportunity to do, that we reflect God in the sense that we get to determine what is good or bad. Or we get to determine what is truthful or not truthful. We get to decide to be loving or not. And again, We're saying that with those areas of goodness and truthfulness and love, that some will do those better than others. But the point of mankind is to say that we are to reflect him well. Lastly, we could reduce down this idea of reflecting God, of being in his image, down to the idea of holiness. We talked about that a couple weeks ago as well. We said that we are set apart as unique and special. And so, and this really impacted me myself, I have to be honest, as I thought about this week. As we live holy, the more that we live holy, the more that we reflect God who is holy. So, we can say that each life has worth, each life is special, because in a way that only people can, we reflect God. That's what we're meant to do. One last truth that we want to look at briefly is, I am known by God. Simply put, he knows us because he made us. Psalm 139 said, he wove us together. Now, I'm not going to put up all these words because it's a longer passage, but in that same Psalm 139, these are the first four verses. This ties in with the idea about I am known by God. David says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, and when I rise up, you understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path being how I live life, and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. If you look at the Romans chapter 8, you'll see God is described as he who searches the hearts. The heart in the Bible, we've talked about before, talks about the very depths of who we really are. God searches that out for each person. He knows the depths of who we are. So the way the pamphlet is going to put it is, God knows me better than I know myself. God tells the prophet Jeremiah in the very first chapter of that prophetic book, he says, before I formed you, we've talked about God forming each of us. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, we're going to say that Jeremiah was chosen specially as a prophet, that is something that was special for him. But God knowing Jeremiah before he formed him in the womb, that is not special. And so God wants each of us to understand that he knows us so well that he actually knows us, he says, before we were even formed. Who of us has not said at some point or another, either to a particular person in conversation or maybe about a group of people, you don't know me. You don't understand me. I think probably most of us at some point have said things like that. What each of us can say, no matter where you are spiritually this morning, is I am known by God. And so he understands what we're going through. He understands fully our challenges, our frustrations, our burdens, our joys. He knows us. And it's because he knows us, that's why Jesus was able to say this statement in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's based on knowing us. So there are three things that we can say about ourselves that are before we were in Christ, before we received Christ, and we said that these are really the same things that could be said about any person. I am created by God. I am made to reflect God. I am known by God. And all that seems like it's pretty good news. We have to say very clearly, though, that even though that is good news, that those kind of things are not enough to get us into heaven. Okay? Those kind of things are not enough for us to spend eternity enjoying God and his presence. Maybe it is enough to know those things, where if you don't have that relationship with God yet through his Son, maybe it is enough that you want to know more about it, that you want to know about this God who has created you, and there are many of us here that would love to talk to you about that, to explain that more. But as I thought about, what does this mean then for those of us who have received Christ? For one thing, this tells us where we were in the past. And to really have a sense of understanding our present and our future, it's good for us to understand our past. This is the BC part of understanding our identity in Christ. Those things were true of you and me. Those things are still true of you and me. And as I looked at this, I thought, you know what? This can also serve as a very easy help as we try to talk with others. Because there are lots of lies about how to understand humans and human behavior. This is an easy way for us to have conversations with others. These are ideas that any of us can share with somebody. Did you know, according to Scripture, did you know, according to the Bible, that it says that you were created by God? It's not just an accident. He knew you have worth. You are special in His eyes because you were made to reflect Him, and He knows you. These are the kind of things that we can share with people and maybe help get them into the kingdom as well as encourage us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, as we seek to get some sense of understanding our identity in Christ, it's good for us to take stock of where we came from and what was true of us before receiving Him, or really what's true of any person as we think about them and their life. And even as we said a couple weeks ago after what happened in Charlottesville, Lord, it's an equal playing field. We're all the same before You. This is saying that one of the reasons that we're all the same before You is because You've made us all. We're all made to reflect Your image. We're all meant to be reflections that do well for You and that people who are known by You. And so I pray, Father God, that as we think back on our past, if there have been any ideas at all, any lies that have been put into our heads maybe long ago about not being worth anything, of not being of value, that those will be erased by the truth of Scripture. And as we go deeper into things next week, more truths about us before we were in Christ, we'll just have a humble attitude and a grateful attitude. Just have a whole spirit of thankfulness because of all this. And then to really dig in to say, this is what's true about us now because we are in Christ. And this is what's true of what's coming in the future because of being in Christ. That all these things, Lord, will cause us to bear more fruit to Your glory. If anybody is not there yet, Father God, speak to them. Speak to them. Erase those lies and tell them that You want this relationship with them because You made them. That they are special to You, but they can even be a son and a daughter. And we pray this, Father God, knowing that You do Your work as no one else can. Almighty God, we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.